the Healer, part two. We are going to be talking about healing. We are going to be looking at healing and how faith is related to healing. And then we're also going to look at gifts of healing and look at the differences there. So, Acts 10:38 says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And the way that he used that was by going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Sickness comes from the devil, not from God. Now, if we don't study, then people assume that Jesus did heal everybody. But Jesus did not heal everybody. And so we need to look at this because it'll help you as a minister to know that God's the healer. The healing is through Jesus. And that even in the ministry of Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he did not heal all. There are some situations, many, where he did heal all. Let me read a few to you. Matthew 4:23 says, "Jesus was going about in all Galilee teaching." And notice that is the first thing that it often says about the ministry of Jesus, that he went about teaching. And it's in an order for a reason. And usually the order is whatever's first is most important. And that is most of what he did. He went about teaching. And teaching where? Teaching in their synagogues. So today it would be going about teaching in the churches. Yes, street ministry is good, but we are to go into the churches where there is already an audience that wants to hear, that is there, that has gathered because they want to hear. And we are sent to go to those that want to hear the good news. So that's why he was in the synagogue teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease, every kind of sickness among the people. Now let's go to Matthew 8:16-17. I'm going to go over almost entirely scripture tonight, so just be willing to go with that flow, okay? "And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word." His word. His word carries power. "And healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases." It's Matthew 8:16-17. Here's another one. "Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." Matthew 12:15, "He healed them all." Matthew 14:14, "He," referring to Jesus, "felt compassion for them and healed their sick. And they began to entreat him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were cured." Matthew 14:36. Speaking of Jesus and about what the healing that he was doing, "who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured, and all the multitude were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all." That right there is gifts of healing, where he was healing them all and healing them all and healing them all is gifts of healing. So Jesus was functioning one of those nine gifts of healing when he was healing them all. That's gifts of healing. Healings. Okay, that's Luke 6:18-19. Now, if we just stop there, then we're left with the impression that he healed all. But let's go to Mark chapter 6. This is Bible school. This isn't just a church service where you just sit back and only listen, but I want you to get these verses. I've been here and I've sat through some of the other teachers' classes, and I've done this myself where we've spent a lot of time on stories, and that's good, and stories are good. They illustrate the word, and they give you the word in sometimes current situations of how it's being applied or things that God is doing today. However, it is also very good for us to get you full of the Word of God. And so there may be times like tonight where we're just going to go from scripture to scripture to scripture because I want to get the Word of God into you. Because it's the Word that's going to minister life. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Now, I'm going to start up a little higher. I'm going to start in verse... Okay, let's just start a little higher. Well, I'm going to start at 1. And he went out from there, and he came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. This is speaking of Jesus. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach, where? In the synagogue. And the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands?" Verse 3, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Jose, and Judas, and Simeon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Verse 4, "And Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, and among his own relatives, and in his own household.'" Here's what I want to emphasize, verse 5 and verse 6. "And he could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them." He could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. Which means this was not all up to the sovereign act of God or power of God. The people that were receiving had something to do with this. And if we look at verse 6, it gives us a clue as to what that was. Verse 6, "And he wondered at their unbelief, and he was going around the villages teaching." The reason why we teach is because teaching drives out unbelief, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So if you can't get them healed, and it says he could not do mighty works. It doesn't say he would not. It says he could not. It's not that he was unwilling. It says that he could not. Why? Because this has something to do with the individual's faith. See, people draw on the anointing. And when they draw on the anointing, they receive. And if they're not drawing on that anointing, if they don't have faith in that anointing, then they're not receiving because they're not drawing. So what they were doing here is they were seeing him as the carpenter's son, not as Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah. So he healed a few sick folk. It would be like a few people with a cold, a common cold, something like that. Minor ailments, some minor things. That's what he healed. Well, praise God, he was able to do that. So that's good. What does he do then if that's all he can do because of where they're at? Then he goes about teaching. And so he starts teaching them. Why? To impart faith. To impart faith so that their faith can be elevated, so that they can receive more. Now let's go ahead and go to Mark chapter 5, and so you just have to look back a little bit for this. And we're going to look at the woman with the issue of blood. "And a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus," that's where faith comes right there, hearing. She had heard about Jesus. "And after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak." Now in this, my New American Standard says, "for she thought." But really a better translation of that is either the King James or the Amplified, which says, the King James says, "she said." And the Amplified is even better than that because it says, "she kept saying." Meaning she stayed with it. She stayed apparently consistent in her confession. And what she was saying was, "if I just touch his garments, I shall get well." Now, did his garments heal her? No. What healed her? Her faith in God. But the point of contact was that garment. For some reason, she had decided her faith was put in such a place that if I just get to him and I can touch that garment, I can be made well. And she kept saying that. And as she kept saying that over and over, what did it continue to do for her? It continued to reinforce her faith. She continued to build herself up. This is a woman who spent all that she had. Not some money, not a little money. 12 years? 12 years is a long time. It would take faith to get out of that condition, wouldn't it? 12 years. She spent all that she had, not some all. She'd spent all. and she'd grown worse. Yet after hearing about Jesus, she began to say to herself, if I just touch his cloak, I'll be made well. I'll be made well. And so she does it. So faith is also an act, isn't it? So we can say something, we believe something, sometimes action is required also. So what would have happened, see now maybe she could have, if her faith was in that, I'm just going to lay here and believe God, maybe she could have gotten healed. But where her faith was that if she touched his cloak, which means if she was going to put her faith in that point of contact, she had to get up, no matter what her condition was, and go and get that to happen. She probably didn't feel very good. I mean, that much bleeding for that many years? I mean, she probably didn't feel very good. Probably drained, probably tired, probably fatigued, and still went anyway, believing. So faith is an act. Sometimes there's something that we have to do. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt, this is great because she got it immediate, she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Even if she hadn't felt it at that point, she needed to keep believing, didn't she? If she had felt nothing right there, she needed to believe that when she made that point of contact that she got what she went for. And then keep that confession. Keep believing, keep speaking. There have been people that have needed healing for something for years, and maybe they haven't seen the manifestation of it immediately. Yet if they'll just stay believing and speaking, they will get the result. They will get that result. It's staying with it. Well, how long do you have to stay with it? Hey, it depends on what it is, and it depends on where your faith is at. Sometimes people get things immediately. Sometimes people have to stick with something for a long time. Sometimes people pick something up and carry it for a little while and then drop it. Pick it up, carry it for a little while, and drop it. Pick it up, carry it for a little while, and drop it. You see what I'm saying? So it depends. So how diligent is somebody being with something? How much are they pursuing God? So she gets it, and she gets it immediately here, and praise the Lord, she gets the result immediately, the manifestation of that result immediately. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. Now, it's interesting because the disciples are saying, you're in a crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? Now, I know that some of you know this verse and some of you may know it really well, but there's such a good illustration of faith here that it's good for us to go over this, even if you're familiar with it, okay? So the disciples are, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's pressing in on you. You're in the middle of a crowd. Everybody's pressing in on you. But somebody touched him with faith. Now, if he didn't know who that was, then that means that faith that she had was drawing on the power of God without him even knowing it.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he picked her out of a crowd and said, "You over there, the Lord has decided that you're going to be healed tonight."
Oh, yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
It wasn't that. This was not a word of knowledge, certainly, because he didn't know who had touched him. Yet he operated in word of knowledge in other cases, which we'll look at later, but not here. He did not know here. If he was here as 100% God and not as 100% man also, he would have known that, right? Because he would know everything, because God knows everything. Okay, and we taught on that before, right? Yet power went out of him. So he turns and he says, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this, but the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter, your faith has made you well. He was attributing this to her faith in God. Now let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 8. We'll start about verse 5. And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him entreating him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Where was his faith? in the Word of God. What was his, if we want to call it this, point of contact was the Word of God. If you just say the word, I'll know it's done. If you just speak that word out, his faith was in the word. Now, this is before he went to the cross. This is before all the work was done. This is before Jesus took all those stripes. Yes, it was prophesied what was to come, what Jesus would do in Isaiah, but this is before that. We today have it prophesied in Isaiah what Jesus was to do and was to take for us. We have the gospel accounts of Jesus healing people, but we live after the cross where we know what he took for us. And we know, and we have more scriptures and more word to stand on than any of them did at that time. By his stripes ye were healed. We have more word. The centurion just said, you say the word. We have more word than that centurion had at that time. And then people can say, well, yeah, but if I could just get where Jesus is. And if Jesus would just speak to me, then I'd believe him too. If I could just get to Jesus, I could say that to him. Just say the word, Jesus. Guess what? You've got the power of God. You don't have to go to God. You, every one of you in here has the power of God living on the inside of you right now. There's no time warp between you and God. You are one with him. You're one with God right now.
Hallelujah.
He hears you. He knows. He knows everything. He knows where your mind is at.
Hallelujah.
I may not, but he does. Okay? So, he knows where you're at. You've got the power of God on the very inside of you. Not only do you have the power of God on the very inside of you, you also have the word that he's committed to you, that by his stripes you're healed. So you don't need Jesus to speak a word to you because he already has. He's already given you the word. Not only has he given you the word in spoken form, but it's now in writing. It's in writing, like a legal binding document. It's a covenant. You have a covenant with God. And in this covenant, his promise to you is healing. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. It's important for us to note what Jesus calls great faith. Great faith was somebody that took him at his word. Great faith was somebody that believed his word. And in this case, they didn't want necessarily need hands laid on them. They didn't need Jesus to go to their house. You just say the word. I'll just take you at the word. They didn't need to call for the elders of the church. They didn't need to get a prayer group of 70 people going or a prayer chain. You just say the word. I take you at your word. Yeah. Jesus calls that here great faith. And then verse 13, and Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very hour. Now we're going to turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy is a healing, because often you'll find when people in the word called out for mercy, a healing would follow. So he cries out and he asks for this. But many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, arise, he is calling for you. Now, I want to explain something to you. In that time, they often wore cloaks that identified them in terms of their trade or their status in life. In this situation, there were cloaks that would identify somebody as being blind. So what he does actually means a great deal. What he did next was this. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, arise, he is calling for you. And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. What he was doing with that is he was saying, I no longer identify with being blind. Not only that, know this also, that they would sit there and because of that cloak, money would be given to them. So it was like he was also not just casting off the cloak from identifying with being blind, but giving up that provision that came from that also. Okay, now listen, I've ministered to people that are on disability. And if you're not willing to let go of the disability payments that you get, how are you going to get healed? Well, I don't know why God hasn't healed me. Well, you're not willing to let go of getting money for being sick. And until you're willing to let go of getting money for being disabled, where's the healing? So first, I've told them, the first thing you need to do is not to use your faith to get healed. It's to use your faith to get a job and be willing to work. And as soon as you're willing to work and you'll use your faith for that, then believe God for healing. And yes, and if you want to, the two can be at the same time. But you need to realize you're going to have to give some things up possibly. Okay? Sometimes it's taken me a while to get to the point of figuring out what the root problem is. I've prayed for people and prayed for people and prayed for people, and sometimes it wasn't until I was in about session 3 that finally the truth kind of started creeping up. And then they open up and give me more information. I'm like, well, now I get it. Until you're ready to let go of that, you don't really want to be healed. See, and I could see that there. I want to be healed. I want to be healed. And we start to pray. It's like, but then they're clinging on to this other thing. But that's my source of money. But how am I going to make it? That's where my money comes from. Well, you're going to have to let go of that and grab a hold of Jesus. Okay? And that is a huge hindrance to people receiving healing if they get a dependence on those things and on that source. You've got to get them to a position where they're willing to believe God for provision so that then they'll have the faith to believe God for the healing and not need the disability payment. It's amazing. Okay, so let's keep going. So he casts aside his cloak. This is big. This is major. He casts it aside and he jumps up and he came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Why could Jesus say that? There was something where Jesus saw this man's faith, and probably some of it was him casting aside that garment. I no longer identify with being blind. This is gone because I'm on my way to Jesus, and I'm going to receive. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Okay, so now we've looked at three illustrations in the Word of God, stories about people that were actual, that were real, that lived on this earth, that this happened and they got healed. And in each one of these accounts, it talks about their faith having something to do or a great deal to do with them receiving healing. I could go on and give you more. I'm probably not going to because of time. But what I will say is this. If you go through the Gospels and you look at all the healing accounts, approximately 19, that's an approximate number, over 50% say something about the person's faith. That tells you something. Yes. It tells us that God is trying to teach us something through His Word. Yes. If over 50% mention the individual's faith, it means we need to learn this connection between faith and healing. We need to understand it, and we need to teach it. And one of the reasons why we need to teach it is something that I touched on in the last class on healing, and that was this, that we can always teach the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit will move in manifestation as He wills. And sometimes people don't understand that, and so they think, if they're left to think that they only get healed by a sovereign act of God, or let's say this gifts of healing, gee, why did God pick that person out in the back of the room when I came 2 hours early and sat in the front row and waited for a seat? They don't know, then they think that's all they can do. Well, I'm looking at an army of believers that is going to go out and teach people there is another way to get healed. And you can get healed by believing in the Word of God and believing that He's done it for you. And this one you can get at any time. Now, I'm also going to tell you this. I know of people that have functioned in gifts of healing and ministered to tons of people, and they've gotten healed, and yet they died young because I don't think they knew how to apply faith to their own life. And I just read an account in a book called The Healing Anointing, where Brother Hagin was talking about in the Voice of Healing days that he would speak with lots of ministers that were used mightily in healing, and yet some of them actually got sick themselves and didn't know what to do about it. Now, why is that? How can that be? Because remember, those gifts are for the body. They're not for yourself. So if somebody has gifts of healing, be perfectly frank, there's no point in you laying hands on yourself. It doesn't function that way. Okay? I mean, if somehow you're hooked up and you're thinking that that helps you and that's a point of contact, but that gift doesn't function like that. That gift is for the body, which means even if you have gifts of healing, healing's functioning through you, you still need to learn faith for your own life. How to get healed, how to stay healed by faith for yourself. That's very important for you to learn, very important for you to understand, and very important for you to develop. Now we're going to look at something that is a gifts of healing. It was not by the individual faith, and this is the last one we'll look at. This is John chapter 5. I want you to see this. But do you see the importance of teaching? So you can always teach the Word of God, and then just be very thankful for when the Holy Spirit manifests himself in power and performs healing or miracles or whatever. Praise God. But it doesn't mean we're left with nothing at other times. We still have the Word. And listen, there are times that I'm going to guess when I've laid hands on people going down this line that gifts of healings have functioned through me. But there are times where I've laid hands on people in faith in the Word of God, without the anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes.
So sometimes it's been by the anointing or the manifestation of the power of God, and sometimes it's by just me believing the Word, and people can get healed both ways. They can get healed both ways. But I can tell you this, I've gone down this line, and my faith, as far as I can tell, is the same for every person I'm praying for. And yet when I lay hands on somebody, sometimes more power goes out. If I'm just going to look at the man as what I sense, what I feel, there are times where I can feel power going out. It doesn't mean that's the only time it does. Sometimes people get healed and you feel nothing. However, there are times where I've laid hands on people and I can tell the people that are in faith because there's more power going out. Now, I can't say that's true always because sometimes they can receive. Nobody necessarily feels anything. But there are times where I can, and I'm thinking, gee, I'm just believing God in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, just bam, hot dog. That was their faith. You know, mine didn't change. I didn't change from here to here. Right. That was their faith.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, well, praise God. Praise God for that.
Yes.
Okay, all right, let's look at this. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. In here, we are going to see a word of knowledge and then gifts of healings. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and the Jews went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, if I'm saying that right, having five porticos, or like sheds. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. That's a long time, don't you think? 38 years is a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew, that's the word of knowledge. No one told him. He now has knowledge, and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" See, it's interesting. Most of the time we see people go to Jesus. People go to Jesus. But I noticed in this, Jesus initiated with him. But Jesus initiated with him after God gave him a word of knowledge. Do you wish to get well? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. See, now look at this. Sir, he doesn't say, oh, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah is here. Praise be to God, it's the Messiah. Praise be to God, it's the healer. He doesn't even call him Rabboni. He doesn't even call him teacher here. Sir. Okay, do you see that? This is gifts of healing. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Arise, take up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. That was gifts of healings. There were, as I'm sure you can tell by reading this, it says that there was a multitude that laid there under these sheds, sick, blind, lame, withered, that waited for the water to move. There were a lot of people that needed healing there. One got healed. And it was by gifts of healings. Do you see that? So I wanted you just to see a little bit of the difference of people receiving by their own faith and by seeing how Jesus ministered to them. He'd say, it's done to you according to your faith. It's done to you according to what you've believed. You know, they believed the word and he said, I haven't seen such great faith. And yet in this situation, I'm not sure it even appears that he knows this is Jesus. He calls him sir. So is he really activating his faith? Doesn't seem like it to me. He says, sir, I have no, you know what this would sound, I have no one to lift me into the water. Now after how many years, 38 years?
Yes.
Okay, I can kind of understand some of that, right? Can't you? I have no one. I mean, you know, how would you like to feel if you were, I mean, I don't know how long he was there, but he was in that condition for 38 years. And then because of his condition, he can't even get into the water to get healed. But what he says to Jesus is, sir, I have no one. I don't see a whole bunch of faith there, but gifts of healings function. Well, isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Then you just flow with God, and you thank God for the healing. And if not, you can teach them the word of God and build their faith. But in this case, we see that one got healed there. Jesus of Nazareth, about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We know that he could heal and does heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. We also see that people get healed by their own faith in God, faith in the Word of God, and there can also be gifts of healings that will manifest and people can receive.